Well, I'm thankful you're here tonight. Are you thankful you're here? I'm most grateful that you're here, and I believe that we didn't come by accident, but we came on purpose. So that means God's got something for us. Amen. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, to come together as a family, as part of the body of Christ all around this world. Lord, we are not forgotten or left out, Lord, because we're on this little island. But Father, even more so, we thank you that, Lord, your presence and your purpose for this place is great. And therefore, we believe tonight, Lord, that as we magnify Jesus, as we magnify the healer, that healing flows in this house tonight. As we speak of and as we lift up, Lord, the healing anointing, as we lift up Jesus, Father, I thank you that the healing anointing is present. Lord, so that even those that are here tonight, as they sit in their seats, as they just simply receive and listen to your word, as their eyes see the written word, healing will begin to manifest within their bodies. We thank you for that. We say that we are a people free from sickness, disease of every sort and of every kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and be seated. Praise God. All right. Well, as you already know, we're going to continue. We've been talking about healing reminders, and we've been making a point of talking about the healing power of God and scriptures concerning healing. Hey, you, I've been wanting to hug you since last week, so air hugs quick, just in case. There's so much. God's word has so much for us concerning healing. And, you know, I love the fact that every time we come together and every time we open God's word together, I was thinking about this today, you know, to simplify things, one of the things we're really doing is we're simply just getting to know him better. Isn't that right? Because we know God through his word. Right? We don't look outward to know God. We look inward and we look at his word, because his word reveals to us his character, his nature, who he is. And so every time we come together and we open God's word, we're getting to know him better. We're learning who he is. We're learning more about his character. Amen. And what the wonderful thing about that is that the more we learn about him, the more we are solidified in who he is, and his character and his rightness and everything about him, then no matter what may happen around us that could be bad, if we're established in who he is, we're always quick to recognize that anything bad, that's not from God. And you know, we think that this is such a simple truth, but I was thinking about this today. And I was just really, as I was studying and preparing today, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, there are so many Christians, even wonderful people, a part of the body of Christ, but yet they will be the first to tell you that God is trying to teach them something through the cancer or through the sickness, or they'll tell you that God took their mom or God took their baby because he needed another rose in his garden. And these types of things that we say, or God did this. But see, that just tells us then, it doesn't mean that they're not saved or they don't love him, but it does make me wonder how well you know him. And so I love these times that we come together, because it solidifies something on the inside of us, so that no matter what happens bad around us, even close to us, we are quick to immediately recognize and we differentiate that this is not God and this is God. Everything good is God, bad is devil, right? Amen. And it's important that we know that concerning healing. It's so very important that it is settled on the inside of us that God has no sickness to teach us with. He has no sickness to give us. The Bible says that he sent his word to heal us. It doesn't say he sent his word to make us sick and teach us a lesson. The Bible tells us plainly that he's the healer. Amen. It says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Doesn't say we were taught and made sick. We were healed. So everything about the Father is has to do with healing, has to do with you and I being well. He is the giver of life. He's not the taker. And we can't ever think that, well, this is so elementary. Everybody knows this. No, they don't. Even people in your own family. Amen. Even people in my own family. There is still a big question mark left in the hearts and the minds of so many Christians. And they're not sure. And the sad thing about that is, how can you receive healing from a God if you're not sure He wants you to be healed? See, there's just some things about God's character that we got to know. We've got to know that we know that we know so that we can receive from Him. And healing is one of these things that you've got to settle for yourself. You've got to know that you know God wants you healed. He wants you walking in divine health. He wants you walking full of life. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that too. So we're going to look at a few more of these healing reminders and stir ourselves up concerning the healing power of God. The healing power of God is for us. Amen. It's not hidden from us. It's not against us. It's for us. It's for you. It's for me. So we might as well walk in it. So go again to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to spend a little more time in these verses. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 20 through 22, and we're going to start in the King James Version, and then I'll switch on over to the New Living. Praise God. I'm thankful for the Word of God concerning healing. Amen. Many of us are here today because of revelation in God's Word concerning healing. Think about it. I mean, really think about it. Some of us would already be on the other side. We'd already be in heaven if it wasn't for, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pastor Wayne. Yeah. That's okay. What I was saying was that some of us would not be here. It's kind of distracting when you have someone going like this in the front row. He said, tell your testimony about it. I said, okay, I will. But for instance, myself, you know, I'm thankful to have been raised the way that I was. And I'm thankful for a mom and dad who were hungry enough for the Word of God that even though when we were little, you know, you walk in the light that you have, right? And so we walked in a measure of light. But then as the light got greater, if that's not a great English, but as it became brighter and we began to see some things and learn some things more about faith and the life of faith, then of course it trickles down to me. And so all those years later, I remember being in my first year. Yeah, it was first year at Rhema. And, at Rhema Bible College, and I was experiencing a lot of trouble with my back. I was having a lot of trouble sitting in classes. I was having just a lot of health issues altogether, and it began affecting me so bad that I remember at the time having to be transported and having to have someone take me back to my dorm, because even though I lived in student housing across the street, I wasn't able to make it back. I was just in such a fit and in so much pain, and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. And so long story short, it's tough, you know, when you're away, because my mom and dad are here and I'm in Oklahoma. And so through many phone calls, from many trying to figure things out, the Lord brought us to a doctor who was really close by, just down the road from Rhema, and he was a believer, and he was a Christian. I think he was a member of Rhema, I think. No, or maybe he went to Victory Christian, yeah, at ORU. But he was just full of faith. And so as I went and began talking to him, he was concerned, and he ran a lot of tests and a lot of x-rays and different things. And to make a very long story short, the day came when we got some results as to what had happened. And when I came in, he had my x-rays set up of my back and my spine and my neck. And I had to have been about 19, I think I was about then. I was 19, 20, somewhere in there. I don't think I was even quite 20. But As he had my x-ray set up and I sat down to hear what the findings were, he asked me if I had ever been abused, if I had ever been severely beaten or abused. And I wanted to say, yeah, you see my brother? No, I'm kidding. He picked on me all the time. That's abuse. He didn't abuse me. We abused each other. He didn't abuse me. But he said, were you ever severely beaten or abused? I was thinking, no. You know, and it's like, it's okay. You know, it's a confidential. And I'm like, no, I've had a good, decent life and childhood. I've never been, you know, that abused like that. And so we went on down the line. He said, okay, well, can you remember a traumatic accident? Have you ever been in a serious, severe car accident, perhaps? He said, well, let me tell you why, because what I'm looking at, he said, I have two sets of x-rays here. I have yours, and then I have the x-rays of an 80-year-old woman in a severe car wreck. He said, and yours are worse than hers. And I was so taken back because I didn't expect this. You know, I didn't know what in the world. And he said, so you see how your spine goes like this, and like a golf ball on a golf tee, your head is positioned and designed to sit, you know, right there. And so from the x-rays, my neck and my spine were like this. And so somehow, he said, I don't quite understand how you're really functioning as much as you are, because you're to be like this, and it's like this, and it's not making sense. And so he said, you know, in the natural, he said, now we believe in God's word. He said, but in the natural, I could tell you that if it weren't for the miracle working power of God, he said, you will be in a wheelchair. It won't be many years, he said, and you may spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair. He said, and you would forever be looking down, he said, because the way that your spine and the way that your neck is, you would forever be stooped and looking down. And so many times, you know, when I think about that, always the same scripture comes to my mind. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Always that scripture comes to my mind. But I'm so thankful for a faith-filled doctor, because he said, now that would be the natural diagnosis. He said, but we're going to believe God. He said, and we're going to pray, and we're going to stand on God's word. He said, and we're going to believe that that's not going to happen. And so during that time, of course, you know, it's kind of traumatic to have all this happening and have my parents so far away. But, you know, praise God for close family friends. And at the time, the next best thing that I could get to for somebody to pray, I had Brother Terry Mize and Tommy Williams. And thank you, Jesus. And so, long story short, the healing anointing at work, hands were laid on me after everything was said to them and told them, and they kind of stepped in and had the spiritual authority, had permission from my parents, obviously, to lay hands on me and to minister the healing power of God, and I submitted to it. And praise God, all these years later, I'm not in a wheelchair. But where would I be without revelation in God's word? Where would some of you be today without revelation of the healing power of God? What could have happened in that bout at the hospital? You know, some of us may not have walked out if it hadn't been for the revelation on the healing power of God. So it's important, isn't it, that we keep ourselves stirred up. Amen. So Proverbs 4. Verses 20 through 22 in the King James says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, my sayings, my word, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, keep my word in the midst of thine heart, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Praise God. And we're going to go back and look at this in just a minute. But you know, I was thinking about something that Brother Hagin used to always say, and I'm not going to get it word for word. It's been said different ways, but basically what he used to say was that the revelation that you are no longer excited about is no longer real to you. If you're not excited about it anymore, it's not real to you. And as I began thinking about that concerning healing, I thought, you know, I wonder how many Christians, or how we could take a poll and we could, you know, have a line up everyone and say, okay, you know, we're you could say, okay, at this church, they're going to teach some new, never heard, you know, fresh off the throne of God. I mean, this latest, greatest preacher in this revelation, it's never been heard. It's the first time ever. You know what? They probably have lines out the doors for people to hear that. And then you could say, no, come here, because we're going to be talking about healing reminders. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes tells us this. But the issue is this. If we're not excited about the healing power of God, if we're not excited about what the Word of God says concerning healing, then it just simply means it's no longer real to us. Amen. And I kind of add my little phrase to this. I would like to say it like this. The revelation that we are no longer excited about is no longer revelation to us. Amen. If we've lost our excitement about something in God's Word, then it's no longer giving life to us. We're no longer feeding on it. It's just become something that we once heard or we once read. Amen. And you know, like so many other revelations in God's Word, healing and divine health, I'm going to say this again, it's a revelation that we cannot afford to let slip. We can't afford to let this just go and let it slip and just think that, oh, well, you know, I know. I mean, 1 Peter 2:24 is there when I need it. I'll always just, in case of emergency, break glass and I'll just kind of reach for it. It doesn't work that way. If it's not real and alive in you, then you can't exercise faith for it. Did you hear that? You're going to have a very hard time exercising faith for healing in your body or someone else's if it's not real and alive in you. We cannot treat the power of God or the promises of God like this fire extinguisher in case of emergency. Now, obviously, we don't have to break the glass. There's a little key there, and I have no idea who has it, but probably Brother Les. I don't know. Our resident fireman, but you know, we take it out in times of emergency. Other than that, we know it's there and we look at it, but we really don't pay much attention to it in case we need it. And that's how many people treat the healing scriptures and healing promises of God. We know it's there. We know it's in there. Not quite sure where sometimes, but I know if I really needed it, I could dig it out. So, you know, that kind of comforts me that I know it's there. It's not enough. That's not enough just to know it's there. If it's not real, if it's not alive, then you can't exercise faith for it. Amen. Amen. And so in order to have faith for healing and victory over all, say all, over all sickness and disease, we then are going to have to keep this revelation stirred up. Keep it fresh on the inside of us. We said this to you last week, you know, and there are so many other people we could use examples for, but Brother Hagin is so close to us in our walk of faith, so I'll use him again. But Brother Hagin was known for, he would not go a day without at least feeding his faith on healing in one way or another. You say, why? I mean, didn't God miraculously heal him? Yes, but the same word that got you healed is the same word that keeps you healed. And so it's not enough just to say, oh, but God healed him from that horrible heart condition, and God literally raised him up out of a deathbed. And so, okay, it's done. Now he can just go on. And no. You know, we sometimes don't think right about spiritual things. We think that everything's on God's end and God does everything. But we forget there's maintenance to be done on this realm. Amen. There's maintenance to be done. And we do the maintenance. So the same word or the same power of God or the same revelation that got me healed, so to speak, and we know that we've already been healed. You know what I mean when I say that. But that brought the manifestation. Well, it's those same truths that we have to feed upon and not let them slip and get dry and crusty and old and forget about them and just keep them locked away somewhere as that's a nice memory. I remember when you did that, God. Thanks a lot. Can't be that way, because the same word that gets us healed is the same word that what? Keeps us healed. Amen. Amen. And let me say this, and then we'll jump back into Proverbs 4. It's not enough just to try and exercise faith on the memory of a healing scripture you once read. And that's where many believers are at. And we've all been there. So ain't no condemnation. We've all been there. We've all been at a place where we're like, I need to bring up something to remembrance. What was that scripture, you know? And well, it's really hard to exercise full faith on the memory of a scripture. Praise God for memory. Thank God for the things that we memorize and we can remember. But memorization does not take away from revelation. We've got to have revelation, not just the memorization of God's word. Praise God for that. But if the word that we're memorizing has not translated into revelation, then we're not going to be able to live off of that word. We can quote it and maybe impress somebody, but can we live off of it? Hey, man, I don't want to know the word just to quote it and say I know it. I need the word to live on. Amen. To wake up on, to breathe on, to function on. Glory to God. And there are many people who settle for just, you know, living on the memory of that message they once heard. I heard this really great message. You know, I was once in a Benny Hinn meeting. Praise God for that. But what are you doing today about the healing anointing? Praise God that you were in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, or praise God that you went to Brother Copeland's, or praise God that you heard a message here. But what do you do tomorrow when you get up? What are you going to do next week at Tuesday at 3 p.m. when you can't go to somebody's meeting and there's nobody to call? See, there's just some things we've got to know. And concerning healing, we've got to know that we know that we know that we know. Amen. See, faith is present when you keep the revelation in the present. Let me say that again. Faith is present when you keep the revelation of healing in the present. If we make it a thing of the past, or we're just touching it based on memory, it's not in the now. And we know this, Hebrews 11 says faith is now. Now faith is. Faith is always now. Amen. We're not here today living off of faith from 10 years ago. Faith is now. It's right now. It's always present tense. And so faith is present when we keep the revelation in the present. Keep it right here. You know, I have a fond memory of an amazing meal I once ate. But you know, that memory is not nourishing me right now. I can tell you all about it. I can tell you where I was at. I can tell you the details. I can tell you what it looked like when it arrived to the table. I can tell you how much I ate. I may not. I might shock some of you. But I could tell you some things about the meal. I could give you details. I mean, just make it like you were really there. But that still doesn't feed me now. And it's not nourishing or helping me right now. And that's the same with God's word. It's not enough just to be able, I remember when I went to this meeting. Oh, I remember when this message was taught. And I remember, praise God for memory. And it's wonderful to stir these things up. And it's great, but what are we doing now? What are you doing about your healing right now? Are you feeding? Are you nourishing yourself now? Am I nourishing myself now? Amen. Praise God. All right, Proverbs 4. Actually, no. Stick a little thingy there. Put your finger there in Proverbs 4. Go real quick to Romans. Let's look at this, and then we'll end up back with Proverbs 4. I will not keep you long tonight. Hour of power. Romans chapter 10. Praise God. Let's go. Verse 17. Romans 10:17 says, and we know this, but we're reminding ourselves, amen? Says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amplified says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. That's heavy, isn't it? Amen. That is awesome. Faith comes by hearing. Now, it's cliche. You've heard us say it. It just becomes a cute little saying. But there's a lot of revelation when we tell you that faith does not come by having heard. Praise God that you heard, and at that moment, it may have imparted faith to you, but then that faith is not enough for you to live on now because you once heard. Does that make sense? Is this making sense? All right. Faith comes by hearing. Faith for healing. Faith for the healing power of God to work in our body, to work in someone else's body. Hearing is always in the present tense. Notice that? Faith comes by hearing, which tells me, right? Remember Hebrews 11? Now faith is now. Faith is now as I'm hearing. If we put these two scriptures together, we could say that. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and faith is now present while I'm presently hearing. And as long as I am continually hearing, then faith is continually flowing. Faith is building in me. There's a surge. There's a flow of faith. There's a flow of power available. Amen. Hearing is always in the present and must be continual. Amen. See, we can't exercise faith for healing today based on the memory of a healing scripture that we loved 10 years ago. I'm glad that you loved it 10 years ago, but what are we feeding on now? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So how do we keep the healing revelation in the present or in the now, if we want to say it like that? How do we keep it? Okay, now go back to Proverbs 4, and we're going to stay here for the rest of the time tonight. The Lord is so amazing, and His Word is just, it's just awe-inspiring. It's completely amazing, and within these few verses, He gives us a formula. It's something that I remember seeing a long time ago, and years and years and years ago, I wrote some things in my Bible, and it's just always stuck with me. And so I'm hoping it's going to stick with you tonight the way that it stuck with me. What I see is like a four-step. There's a four-step formula to keep the revelation of hearing, of healing and divine health continually in the present. We want to keep it present right now. And truly, this system is going to work for any revelation from God, but we're talking about healing, right? So, okay, here we go. If you write and mark things in your Bibles, then you're going to want to do this. Or if you want to take it home and do it later. But I would encourage you to do this. I love the way that it reads. Let me read it to you in the New Living, but we're going to go back and stay in the King James. The New Living says, my child, pay attention. It's important we pay attention, right? Pay attention. You know, we miss a lot when we don't pay attention. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Okay, it's laid out to me a little bit easier, actually, of all things. You'd think the King James would be a little difficult. It's not. It's actually, I see it easier. So this is what I want you to do. It says, my son, attend to my words. And right by that, I underlined that, attend to my words, and I wrote a little one. That's our first step. How do we keep the healing revelation of God present? How do we keep it in the now? How do we keep any revelation fresh? How do we stay excited about God's word? How do we go from just getting excited and then fizzling out? And we see that happen so much. We've experienced it. We see it happening in people's lives. They get all excited, and then all of a sudden, where'd they go? What happened? Well, we can prevent that. How do we keep revelation fresh? Number one, attend to his words. That's number one. I wrote a little number one there. This word attend, simply as we read it in the New Living, pay attention. Give attention. See, we're giving our attention to so many things throughout the day. And it's really a lie when we say we don't have time. When we say we don't have time to read God's word, or we don't say it like this, but what we're saying is, I don't have time to pay attention to you, God. Because remember, we know him through his word, right? We learn of him, we know him. But it's really a lie. We deceive ourselves when we say that. He knows it's not true. And you know, it may make others around us may think, wow, they're just so busy, bless their hearts. No, it's not true, because we're giving our attention to so many things throughout the day. We give hours of our attention to media, to computer, to television, to conversation, to everything and anything sometimes. And yet, if we would just take some of that time and pay attention, this is the first step in how we keep revelation fresh. How do we keep the healing revelation of God alive within us? How do we not let these things slip? Pay attention. Attend. Give your attention. Don't just wait until you come to church and you're in a setting where you're semi-made to listen. Now, it's important that you pay attention here, because how many of you know it's impossible? It is very possible to be here in body and that's it. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's hysterical sometimes. I mean, I don't have my own Facebook anymore, but it's funny. Sometimes I'll go home and I'll glance on his or his Facebook will be on or something. And I've laughed several times and I've thought, they were in church. And I'll count the minutes or the hours back. And I'm like, dude, you're Facebooking your friends and I was preaching. You're busted, because the time on the thing tells me that you were in church Facebooking. So it's possible to be here in body, but to be already thinking about dinner, about school, about friends, and so much of it is just a matter of the mind loves to wander. And it takes discipline to pull yourself, pull your faculties, your senses back and say, pay attention, right? But we can make ourselves. And the first step to keeping revelation fresh is to attend. And notice what we attend to: his words. Not anybody else's words. Not anybody else's opinion about why they think God took that baby, or why they think God gave that person cancer, or why they think God did this, or God did, or God's sending judgment on America, or God's doing this, or God. Listen. Attend to his words. Even the things that you're not sure about, why or how come, just pay attention to his words. His words bring life. His words bring answers. Amen. And that we don't know, we will know. Amen. Because it's at the entrance of his word that light comes in. The light's turned on as we keep his word flowing. So number one, attend to his word. Number two, incline thine ear unto my sayings. This is the second step in how we're going to keep the healing revelation fresh and alive and in the now, in the present. Number two, we're going to incline our ear unto his sayings. Now, we know what it is to recline, right? Some of you have recliners in your home, or you'll purchase a recliner. It's a very comfy chair to which you can recline. You can lay back. But to incline is to lean into. It's the opposite. And so he doesn't say recline from my words. That would be getting away. But he says incline thine ear. Lean into. Move into. Get up close so that you can hear me. And I think it's very interesting that he would use this word incline, because it tells me then that there's probably going to be a lot of other voices and a lot of other things screaming, trying to get my attention, trying to vie for my attention. And you know what? Sometimes if we have an ear to hear, we'll hear more revelation in the midst of chaos from just a whisper from the Holy Ghost. I don't need him to scream out of heaven. If he just whispers on the inside of me, all hell can be breaking loose. But if I can hear that still small voice, then I'm okay. But the only way I'm going to hear that still small voice in the midst of the negative report, in the midst of all these things happening, is my ear has got to be inclined. Amen. The ears of our spirit. My heart has got to be attentive. I've got to be leaning into him, not leaning away from him. And if I'm forever leaning away from him and allowing other things to have first place, then you know what? It's going to be hard to hear that still small voice. And if I don't hear it, it's not God's fault. Amen. Whose fault is it? It would be mine. Yeah, it would be yours. The fault's not on his. And so he says, incline your ear. And again, he makes it specific. He tells us what to incline to his sayings, his word. You want what God says about your health. You want your ears inclined to what God says about your life. Amen. He said, with long life, he'll satisfy you. So when the enemy comes to lie to you and tell you that he's going to kill you and he's going to cut your life short and you're not going to live past this age and all of these things that he lies and he tries to bind up so many people with these types of lies, if our ears will be inclined to his sayings and not to the devil's lies, amen, then there's faith present. To say when that fiery dart or when that lie comes or the negative report comes, we can say, oh, no. See, my ear's inclined to his sayings and he's already told me that it's with long life he's going to satisfy me. And I'm not satisfied yet. It's not time for me to go. I'm not satisfied yet. That means I've got more life ahead of me. Well, how do you know that? Well, my ears have been inclined to his saying. God told me so. Could you say that? Yeah, you can. God and his word are one. Amen. And if you can see it and hear, it's just as good as him talking to you. We need to quit trying to hear God out here somewhere and realize that he's talking to us here. And he said, with long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. Praise God. So number two is we want to incline our ear. Amen. And there are going to be times where you're going to have to pull yourself by the ear. You ever see somebody do that? You ever see a grandma or a grandpa or a mom or a dad or ever have a mom or a dad or an auntie or somebody just kind of, you know, you ever see them pull a child by the ear? No fun, right? But there's a purpose in it. They're saying, get back here, you know, listen to me, right? Well, there are times when you're going to have to pull yourself by the ear, when all the other voices try to come in and distract and detour you and detach you from God's word. Incline your ear. Amen. Number three simply says, let them not depart from thine eyes. I have a little number three right there because that's the third step in keeping the revelation of God present and alive. Let them not depart from thine eyes. And notice the responsibility for all of this is on me and it's on you. He didn't say, I will keep them before your eyes. I will never let them depart from your eyes, Brother Eddie. He doesn't say that. He says, you do it. I gave it. I did it. I did the work. There's nothing else that can be done. You do the maintenance. And this is how you do it. Amen. You keep them in the midst of, no, he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Okay, so does that mean that we can't ever leave the house and we forever have to be walking around with the Bible? Of course not. Of course not. Wade? Wayne said, you get it tattooed on you. Or that. Hey, what are you? Anyway, I'm not prophesying that, so nobody go do that unless you just want to. But anyway, we digress. How do you do this? How do you keep God's word before your eyes? He knows we work. He knows we have lives. He knows we have school. He knows that we have to drive. We have to eat. We have all. Of course he knows that. But whether you realize it or not, you're keeping something before your eyes all day long. Have you ever gotten to the end of the day and realized that you have thought and worried about something all throughout the day? You may never voiced it to anybody, but that thought has rolled around in your mind and you played it over and you played it over and you rehearsed it over and you thought about the concern and you thought about the trouble and you thought about the trial and you thought about the way it made you feel and you thought about why you don't understand and you thought about, what were you doing? You were keeping it right before you. You were meditating on it, right? Anybody ever do that? And you get to the end of the day and you think, oh my goodness, I was supposed to have cast that care on you, and I've carried it all day. No wonder I feel so heavy, right? So we know how to keep something before us. Well, we can simply take that same principle, and we can keep the Word of God before us all throughout the day, whenever that pain or that symptom tries to flare up. Whatever the scripture is that speaks to you, maybe it is, by His stripes I was healed. Then all throughout the day, if you feel it, or if something comes up, or you have a doctor's appointment, or just anything, and one of those thoughts run through your mind that, you know, you're going to die, or all of these things that the enemy recycles over and over again with people, keep the word in front of you. Simply say it out loud, say it within yourself. No, see, I've already been healed. By his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. That means if I was healed, then I am healed today. Thank you, Father, I am healed. And there might be times when you're going to have to wage a good warfare and fight the good fight of faith. And there may be times where saying it once or twice may just not cut it. Yeah. And you may just have to continue on. Amen. Until a lack of a better way to say it is, until you know that you know on the inside, okay, it's settled. It's settled. Amen. Does that make sense? Is anybody getting this? All right. You're not sleeping on me, right? We keep them in the midst of our heart. Now, that's the next thing. Let them not depart from our eyes is number 3. Number 4, and in closing, the fourth way, right over there, keep them in the midst of thine heart, write a little number 4. We're going to keep God's word. We're going to keep the healing word. Amen. Or whatever the revelation is, whether it be on finances, if you're believing God for finances, you keep the word concerning prosperity. Whatever it is, we keep this revelation in the midst of our heart. Now, how do we do that? How do you keep something in the middle or in the midst? Or I like to say it like this, keep it in the center. Keep it the focus of your heart. Amen. Do whatever it takes for the Word of God to go down deep into your heart. If you have to write it on index cards and stick it in your dashboard, if you have to have scripture on your refrigerator, if you do whatever it takes, amen, to allow the Word to go down so deep and to put down deep roots in your heart so that it springs up and it is in the center. It is the focus of your heart. Amen. Not the negative report, not the sickness, not the disease, not the pain, not any of these things, but the Word of God. Amen. And that takes time. Amen. If you were looking for easy, you're looking in the wrong place. It's much easier to quit than it is to press on. Absolutely. But we press on because there's rewards. There's life for doing this. We keep his word in the midst of our heart. We keep this revelation that God desires, God wants me well. God desires for me to be well. He paid the price for me to be well. I am well. I am well now. I'm not gonna be well. I am well. I'm not gonna be well one day in the future someday, but right now at this moment, I am well. And we're rehearsing it, and we're rehearsing it, and we're keeping this word and his promises concerning healing. We're keeping it in the midst of our heart. And the benefits for doing this, the reward is, verse 22, for they are life. Life. Amen. These revelations, they're life unto those that find them. And from this life, the benefit from this life is they are health to all our flesh. We're laying hold of life every time. Every time we keep God's word in the midst of our heart, we're taking hold literally of literal life. There's no life outside of God. He's the giver. He's the author of life. Therefore, there's no life outside of his word. There's existence, but there's no life. And to really live, every time we lay hold of this word, no matter what your body feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what. You know, I've thought, Lord, I'm so glad that I can't see what's happening inside of me sometimes. You know, sometimes you feel pain. You're like, what in the world's going on? But sometimes I'm so thankful that I can't just see all of this. And, you know, because sometimes it's harder to exercise faith a lot of times when you see something. Amen. Now you can do it. Of course you can. But what I'm saying is, don't wait and think that, well, you know, when the big things happen in life, you know, then I'm going to be a faith giant and I'm going to start now. Start right now with the little things, or what we think are little. They're not little to God. Amen.